So the shaila was, when Rashi mentions an idea in Parshas Vayera of a zecher tzaddik livracha, so what is that? How does that reflect itself in any way halacha lemaisa? Is there a reason? Is there a mitzvah after we mention the name of a rav to say shlita? Is there some sort of value or mitzvah to praise or give bracha to a tzaddik whenever we hear his name is mentioned, something like that? So let's just start from scratch and work our way through the sources to try and figure out if there is anything that impacts us, if there's any behavior that's demanded of us in any way from this. So basically what we're doing is an exercise in taking something that I think normally is brushed aside as, oh, Rashi says something, let's move on to the next point. And let's take it really seriously and try to figure out what exactly is this idea presented to us in Chumash. And if Rashi says this is a pshat in a pasuk and he feels that this is what the Torah is speaking to us on a simple level, he needs to point out, probably it has some significance. So let's try to work it through. Here we go. On the source sheet, you see, first we start with the psukim. To get anywhere in what we're going to talk about today, you really have to appreciate the question. What's the question? The pasuk says, this is in the context of destroying Sidoim. Parshas Vayera, you see on this sheet, it gives you, starts with pasuk Yud Zayin. V'Hashem Omar, HaMechaseh Ani Me'Avraham Asher Ani Oseh. The hey in front of HaMechaseh is a question. Usually the hey is like a hey hayidia, that this is the thing. This is the different type of hey. HaMechaseh, shall I, could I conceal from Avraham that which I am doing? So Hashem is speaking to himself, if you could say such a thing. Obviously it's to us, so we understand that Hashem is considering, how could I hide this from Avraham? Why? What's the problem? Why does Avraham need to know everything that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to do? So we expect that the next pasuk is going to tell us what? The rationale for why Hashem can't hide it from Avraham, right? Hashem says, how can I hide it from Avraham? After all, whatever's going to come next. Is that true or is that not true? The next pasuk says, Vi Avraham, and Avraham, that vav means and Avraham hayoy yeyel gai gadol, will surely be a great nation, ve'atzum, and numerous, v'nivruch uvoy kol goyei ha'aretz, and blessing will come through him to all of the nations of the world. All the nations of the world will bless themselves perhaps through him, whatever it is. But the question is that a reason why Hashem cannot or does not want to conceal from Avram what he's going to do? The problem is, the next pasuk starts off with the word ki. What does ki mean?
For, because.
So, okay, what does it say? Ki yedatu, because I know about him. Lema'an, asher yitzava esbanav esbeso acharav. In order that, he will command his children and his household after him. V'shamru derech Hashem, and they will all guard the way of Hashem. Lasos tzedakah u'mishpat, to perform righteousness and justice. Tzedakah probably refers to things that are, you know, a righteousness to somebody else, going above and beyond, the chesed of Avram types of things. And mishpat means to be just, that everything should be with a yashrus, with justice, that things aren't right. Do the right thing. Laman havi Hashem, in order that Hashem will bring al Avraham, an Avraham, eis asher diber alav, that which he had spoken to him. Translated into more normal English. Pasuk Yitah seems to be saying, because I know that he's going to educate his entire household and family to follow in my ways, so that I will be able to fulfill all of my promises to him. What? And then it goes on to say, V'yomer Hashem, and Hashem says, now this is to Avraham, Zakas Sadaim Amar Ki Rabba, Chatasam Ki Chav Demod, that they're bad people over there, the sin is so great, Ered and Avereh, HaKitzakasa, Boy, Lai, Asukala, V'imloi, Eda'a. Anyway, the pasuk goes on to say that the people, the malachim, that were visiting Avraham, they left, and Avraham is still there in front of Hashem. So, Vayigash Avraham Vayomer Haftis Bet Tzadik in Russia, and Avraham then goes into his conversation, his tefillah with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, to try and save Stone and Amira, etc. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is Pasuk Yud Ches doing here? So we have to understand Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, and Yud Tes. How does this flow together? Yud Zayin is clear. Hashem says to himself, how can I hide this from Avraham? Let's imagine that Yud Ches doesn't exist. Does it make sense to say, Hashem says, how can I conceal from Avraham what I'm going to do? After all, I know, because I know about him, that his children are going to follow in my ways, and in order that I should fulfill my promises to him. So we're not exactly sure what that means. But at least, linguistically, Hashem is explaining why he can't hide it from Avraham. Because Avraham is going to follow in his ways, and because his children require this bracha to be able for Hashem to fulfill the promises. So let's work with that for 1 minute. I think this is in Rosh Hashem Pinkus, I don't remember. But if it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I want Avraham to respond to me about Sodom, because that's how he's going to have all his children, and that's how I'm going to be able to fulfill the promises to him. What promises to him? What was the promise to Avraham? That he's going to have all these children, he's going to get out of Yisrael, right? So how does the tefillah for Sodom help him in the future, that Hashem should fulfill his promises? So the problem is, was Avraham Avinu successful in his tefillah for Sodom? Sure seems like he wasn't, because he didn't get what he wanted, he didn't save them. So what's going on over here? So if we're reading the pshat correctly, that Hashem says, how can I hide it from him? This process, what's about to happen, is necessary for his children. What is that even supposed to mean? So the answer is, this is a yesod in tefillah. Whenever we daven for something, so we've all heard many times, that no tefillah is ever in vain, no tefillah is ever wasted. The difficulty with that is it's hard to understand. Because if I davened for so-and-so, and then it turned out that so-and-so died, so my tefillah was not successful. So you want me to believe that no tefillah ever goes unanswered, but this one can't be answered because the person's dead. So what does it mean? It'll express itself in some other time when someone else that happens to have the same name is in the same situation. Like, what does that mean? I davened for this particular person. Right? No.
Even more so, one time I remember I was still davening for someone who was, I thought was sick. Like, I was still davening for them.
You were still davening for a person that was sick and they had already passed on. So what are those tefillos? What does that even mean? What's it worth? Right.
Doesn't mean you feel it might hurt. Because you're not davening, you know, for, obviously you're davening for somebody's recovery for your death.
Okay.
But there's something bigger than you going on. You don't know what's going on, you know.
So you're davening for a specific person that's sick, and the person, let's say, died. So then what did your tefillos accomplish?
A connection to Hashem.
For yourself, a connection to Hashem. That you're now closer to Hashem because the process of tefillah brought you closer to Hashem.
And it shows you went out of your way.
So in terms of the tefillah itself, it didn't really do anything. But in terms of your internal mechanisms, your relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, it accomplished something in terms of your relationship. So this pasuk is saying that the tefillos accomplish something even when they're not answered. Because the fact that Avraham Avinu davened for a son, those tefillos enable his descendants to be successful and for Hashem to fulfill his promises later. Why? How is that possible? So I think it was Rosh Hashem Pinkus that I saw this, that he explained that there's a difference between the words that a person uses for his tefillah and what you could call the zuchus ha-tefillah, the reward for the tefillah, the power of the tefillah. That whenever a person does a mitzvah, so there's an action that's happening in the physical world. Whenever a person says certain things, there's certain things that happen in the immediate world. But there's also a reward for davening. There is something that's created in the world because of the tefillah. And that a Kaddish Baruch Hu can say, not ready to reward you yet. So that schar for the mitzvah, that fallout, the consequence, was created as a result of the tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say it's not time to activate it. But later on, whenever it is necessary to activate the schar ha-tefillah, so we'll activate it. Now the schara tefila isn't the specific words that were used for this particular chayla. You with me? So the schara tefila is that this person daven. It's similar to what you're saying about the relationship that the person has, but that's only vis-a-vis his relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This pshat is saying it's in terms of a very objective thing that was created. We'll call it the schara tefila, the reward that's going to be given for that powerful davening. The more powerful the davening, the greater the schara. So that schar that's going to be given over to a person that he should be rewarded and given whatever it is for his tefillah, that is reserved for whenever a Kadosh Baruch Hu deems it appropriate. So a person could be davening for whatever, let's say Avraham Avinu for a son, and he's not successful in a particular tefillah, but because he davened with such kavana, because it was such a powerful tefillah, you see the next day he goes back exactly to that spot. It was a powerful place that teaches us a mitzvah, a halacha, by the way, of makom kavua, is learned from here. Vayashkim Avram Aboker el hamakom asher omad sham. He woke up the next morning early to the place that he had stood. And what do we call Shemana Esrei? The Amida. Amida is a lashon of tefillah. To the makom asher omad sham. So he went back to that place because it was such a powerful place in tefillah for him. It became his makom kavua for his shacharis. But it was failure. The answer wasn't a failure, because even though a Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't answer the particular tefillah, the zuchus ha-tefillah is always reserved whenever a Kadosh Baruch Hu deems it appropriate, and that could be generations later that it's given over to the children. So this is a source for that concept. Otherwise, psukim don't really seem to make sense. I'm saying in the Pashut Pshat now. No drushes. In the Pashut Pshat, Hashem says, the reason I can't conceal it from him is because he needs to become this great nation. He needs to become this goy gadol and atzum. And I need to fulfill my promises to him. And in order for me to do that, there has to be certain zuchuyos, a certain dynamic in play. And this tefillah first time, even though in and of itself was unsuccessful, is going to create the zuchus necessary for the future generations of Avraham Avinu. Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable pshat. In other words, now if that's correct, so then what is Pasuk Yudches doing here? And Hashem says, how can I conceal from Avram what I'm doing? Oh, Avram, I just want you to know he's a really great guy. I love him, man. What? Yeah, Avram, you know he's going to be a good God, loves him, and all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through him. Right? And in order, and since I know that his children are going to follow in my ways, and I need to fulfill my promises to them, so I can't hide it from him. Why do you need to tell me that he's going to be the good gadol? Skip it! Skip Yudches! So do you hear the question? Do you think it's a good question? That's the background of all of this. The way to read Yudzayin, Yudches, and Yudtes is that Yudzayin is what Hashem says, how can I conceal it from Avram what I'm doing? After all, because I know that his children will follow in his ways, and I need to fulfill my promises to him, and this is the zuchus atfilah that's necessary to give it to them. But then what in the world is Yudches? And Avram, he's going to be a goy gadol. It's just like, it's an introduction? Skip it. Skip it. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, V'Avram hoya yiyeh. Medrash Agada, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The pasuk which we'll see momentarily in Mishle says, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The memory of a tzadik will be for a bracha. Hoyil v'hizkiroi berchoi. Since Hashem mentioned Avraham's name, Berachah, he blesses him. And then Rashi has another pshat, you know, what he says is maybe the pshuto shall make, but first he gives us this medrash, and that's what we're going to zero in on today. So what does this mean? So Rashi's saying that this is totally parenthetical. Rashi's maskim. Yes, it's parenthetical. That Hashem said, how could I conceal from Avraham what I'm doing? Oh, Avraham's want you to know, he's mamash the shpitz. I mean, he's a great guy. Going to be a big nation, and you know, he should have lots of bracha. You want to know why I can't conceal it from him? I'll tell you in a second. Well, what's it doing here? Says Rashi, the answer is because when you mention the name of a tzaddik, you give him a bracha. What is that? Okay, so first things first. Point A in this year is that Rashi's saying that this pasuk is parenthetical. You're right. You could have erased it. Doesn't need to be there. Why is it there? It's only there because since Hashem mentioned the name of Avraham, he was thinking about Avraham. So he gave him a bracha because we have a principle that we're going to develop now called Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And we're being taught that here. Okay, so now what is that? What is Zecher Tzadik Livracha? It's a pasuk in Mishlei. Zecher Tzadik Livracha v'shem Rishayim Yirkav. Loosely translated the best we can. Zecher, memory, the remembrance of a tzaddik, is for a bracha. And the name of the Rishayim Yirkav will be
rot.
Will rot. So Rashi on the pasuk there in Mishlei comments that this is not a tzivui. There's no instruction to us here. It's descriptive. What do I mean? Says Rashi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Mazkir Tzadik Mevarcha. One who mentions a tzadik blesses him. Meaning I have to? No. Meaning that's just the way it is. When someone mentions a tzadik to you, so you say, well, yeah, wow, he's awesome. You know, like he's a big tzadik. Yeah. So, okay, very nice. V'shem Rishayim Yirkav, Rikavayin Oyle Bishma. Rot goes up in their names. She'ein Adam Chafetz Lahazkir Shemoy. Because nobody wants to even mention their names. His name. V'hu Mishtakach Me'alav. And it's forgotten on its own, automatically. In other words, whenever a person hears the name of a tzaddik, or something about the tzaddik, the memory of the tzaddik, so a person makes a positive comment. That's just the way of the world. And whenever there's the name of a Rasha, so people don't even want to say the guy's name. So it rots on its own. It just decomposes and decays until it's gone, because who wants to even talk about it? Don't even want to mention his name. I don't even know. Don't even say his name around me. Yeah?
I don't think that's so much the case anymore. Like, we talk about people from, like, history, like, on Ivan the Terrible and stuff.
Because that's history, so people want to learn history. But in a person's personal life, if there are bad things that happen to them, so if they feel there's a value in mentioning it for some reason, educationally or something like that, so they'll maybe reference it. We I don't know how much we'll talk about it, but we should come back to it a little bit. We have ways of saying certain negative things about people when we have to mention their names, which comes from this too, as we'll see. But other than that, in our personal lives, I think we'd rather just not even mention it. Unless there's some value to it. Okay, so in any case, the Malbim just fleshes out one more point. And the Malbim writes, Zecher Tzadik, Yesh Hevdel Ben Shem Uvein Zecher. There's a difference between Shem, name, and Zecher. What's he talking about? So look at the pasuk for a second. This is a good point to keep in mind whenever you read a pasuk, especially in Mishlei, but it's always true. Often you'll see in a pasuk that's poetic a contrast. There's a tzaddik and there's a rasha. How to relate to the tzaddik, how to relate to the rasha. And then you'll have to ask yourself, are the two parallel components of the pasuk parallel? Because if it says Zecher Tzadik Livracha, what should it have said about the Rasha? V'Zecher HaRasha Rikavon. Rikavon, however you're going to say it. Yeah? And the memory of a Rasha is just going to rot. So how come it says Zecher by the Tzadik and Shame by the Rasha? And is Bracha and rotting, are those opposites? Okay, maybe they are. And how come it says Tzadik and it says Rishayim in the plural? Maybe there's more Rishon than Tzadik.
Ratio.
So the Malbim says, there is a difference between Zecher and Shame. Well, of course there's a difference between Zecher and Shame. Zecher means like remembering something, and Shame means his name. So what's going on over here? So explains the Malbim. Hashem, who Hashem ha'atzmi, name refers to the guy's name, literally, his name. It doesn't necessarily have to mean his reputation or something more abstract. It just means his name. V'hazecher, what about the word zecher? Moire masha mazkirim osa le maisa v'sher asa. That refers to memory of him because of the things that he did. So whenever you mention something that happened with the tzaddik, so people say, wow, yeah, that was an amazing thing, and they bless him, and they say whatever they're going to say, that's so nice. But the Rishoyim, nobody even wants to mention their name. Forget the things they did. So he says, that's the contrast. Okay, but in any case, both Rashi and the Malbim, they're learning that the pasuk is simply descriptive. That's important to me at this point, because the pasuk is not telling me to do anything. It's just saying the way of the world, right? Now, of course, the way of the world means that's the normal way. Maybe there's an expectation of us, and then we have to ask ourselves, why is Shlomo HaMelech telling us this? Is there more to it than that? Now, I want to show you something as we get involved in this. Is there any responsibility that we have from a pasuk like this? That's where we're headed now. We're going to try to see if there's anything that, a behavior of sort, some sort that's demanded of me. So the way we're going to start is with the Mishnah and Yuma. There are two Mishnahs here back to back. I'm just going to say outside what the Mishnah says very quickly. I underline the important parts for you. The first Mishnah is in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud and Mishnah Yud Aleph. They're describing the Mishmaras Kahuna and personalities that were involved in doing certain things for the Beis HaMikdash. And it mentions, for example, that there was a certain individual who created certain things for the Beis HaMikdash. There were certain people that provided the doors, maybe you've heard Shar Nicanor. They donated, they dedicated certain things to the Beis HaMikdash. And they mentioned his name for praise, because he did something that was very positive. And then the Mishnah Yirah says, and certain people, we, so to speak, remember them, but it's only in a derogatory fashion. Because there were certain people that knew how to create the Lechem HaPanim, remember, had a very unique shape. And there were certain people who knew how to prepare the Ketores, the incense, it's not really incense, but the specific spices that went into what we call the Ketores. All kinds of things that had to do with it, the Kohen and the Gadol, right, and Kippur. But even to prepare it...
You want
to
pee on it?
Well, okay, it could have been involved in it if, yeah, if it wasn't gross. And then they knew how to do it. It was a tremendous chachma. They knew what they were doing. And they didn't want to teach anybody else. You know, there's this thing called like a family recipe. This is our family recipe, and we're not sharing it. And so the Mishnah writes, Al harishonim ne'emar. On the earlier ones that we mentioned, that they donated and dedicated things and created new things for the Beis HaMikdash. Zecher tzadik livracha. Ve'aleilu, and on the ones we just mentioned, that didn't want to share the family recipes, ne'emar v'shem rishoyim yirka. The name of the rishoyim should rat. Why does the Mishnah say that? Like, what's the point of the Mishnah? And it's ironic, because if you're telling me the name of the rishoyim will rot, well, you're talking about them. How are you going to let it rot? Rashi said the way it rots is because nobody even wants to mention their names. Not only did you mention their names, you mentioned what they did wrong. Nobody's going to forget, because now it's included in the Mishnah. So isn't that a good question? So what does it mean, shayim rishoyim yirkav, according to this? So number one, why is the Mishnah bothering to say anything? And number two, once it is going to say something, it's the opposite of what the pasuk seems to indicate. It's like proving what the Mishnah does is wrong. Because the Mishnah should have just left it out. Don't mention them. Let's forget about them. Shem Rishoyim Yirka. You're asking? So don't say anything at all. Isn't that what the pasuk means anyway? So you get the sense that the Mishnah has a different explanation from Rashi. That the gist, at least the one that Rashi quotes on the pasuk, Mishlei. We'll see what Rashi says in Chumash. The gist of the Mishnah seems to be that there's an agenda that if you mention a tzaddik, you have to make a positive comment about him. And when you mention a Rasha, you have to mention something negative about him. So where does Rashi bring this up in Chumash? Two or three times. Two times by Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, and one time by Shem Rishoyim Yirkav. In order of how it appears, Eilat told us, Noyach Noyach Ish Tzaddik. We don't usually think about it in this way, but think about the parasha. The parasha begins, Eilat told us Noyach. These are the generations of Noyach. Noyach? Awesome guys. I remember, you know, when I was young, and him and I, we used to, right? Torah says, Noyach Ish Tzaddik. It doesn't talk about his generations. It doesn't talk about his children. Eventually it does. But it's as if the Torah is introducing Noyach and says, Noyach, oh yeah, I remember him. He's a great guy. He's a Tzaddik Tamim. Right? So Rashi on the spot says exactly the same thing. Okay, not exactly. He says something very similar to what he says by Hashem mentioning Avraham. What does Rashi say? Hoyel v'hizkiroi, since Hashem mentioned him, siper b'shvachai, he speaks in his praise. Now you notice it uses the word shevach instead of bracha. Yeah? So you say that bracha and shevach, okay, apparently they overlap or they're similar. And then, of course, Rashi quotes, how do you know you should do such a thing? Shenemar zecher tzadik livracha. Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu learned Mishlei, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu knew from Shlomo Melech that you're supposed to bless the tzadik. Okay, we'll see how this works with Chumash soon.
You can't learn a halacha from...
Yeah, no. So we'll see a Gemara shortly that connects the two and actually asks, where do you see that in the Torah? But hold on one second. So that's the first place that Rashi says this. So you have this Zecher Tzadik Tivracha Rashi brings twice, one by Noach and one by Avraham. The difference between the two is that Rashi writes by Noach Siper B'Shvachai, it simply speaks about his praise, and by Avraham it actually does give him a bracha. Even though that bracha maybe sounds like praise too. Because it's Hayo Yiyeh L'Goy Gadol, he'll certainly be a great nation. So it's not like Hashem is saying, may you be a great nation, as much as Hashem is saying it's going to happen. But you can see that as a bracha, obviously, because Hashem is saying it's going to happen. So, okay. But in any case, you have this idea that it could be Shevach, it doesn't have to be bracha necessarily. Fine. Rashi says it in the negative by Loit. Loit, if you remember, in Parshas Lech Lecha, well, 2 weeks ago, I guess, at this point. Hashem says to Lot, Avraham says to Lot, okay, time to split, we have to part ways. And Lot decides to go where?
Stone.
To Stoim. Stoim, says the Torah, Oyve. That's what happens. As soon as the Torah mentions Stoim, Hashem says, Stoim, Oyve. And the pasuk says, V'anshei Stoim, Chatoim, Eroim, they were very, very bad people. Admoid, really bad. Yeah? And so Rashi again wants to know, okay, I'm not saying that's not true, says Rashi, but why do you need to mention that here? If you want to mention it when you're going to destroy them, I get it. But the fact that Lot went to go live there, you have to mention how bad they were right now and it's not relevant? Well, you'll say it's relevant because it shows that Lot chose that place and so it's negative. They chose that place. But Rashi says, V'afal pichein, despite the fact that they were so evil, he didn't stop himself from going to live there. That's the Pashuk Pshat. But then, Rashi quotes another Pshat. Rabbi Zin Olam Dumikan, Chazal learned from here, Shem Rishoyim Yerkov. Okay, so wait a minute. What is Rashi saying here? Shem Rishoyim Yerkov, I thought that meant that automatically nobody wants to mention the name of a Rasha, and therefore their name, their reputation, everything about them just decomposes on its own. No one ever hears about it again. But this is the opposite. Here you're saying something negative about the Rishoyim. You hear the question? So it's the opposite of what the Pasuk seems to intend. The Pasuk seems to say, just don't say anything. And by not saying anything, their memory will just be forgotten and lost. Let it rot. Here, you're saying something. You're saying they were bad. So you're keeping their memory alive. Okay, it may be positive educationally, but that's not what the Pasuk means. You hear the question, right? Yeah? So Rashi's clearly indicating to us that Shem Rishoyim Yerkov doesn't mean, in this context, it doesn't mean that you just let it rot. It means you have to say something. Just like by the Tzaddik, you have to say something. By the Rashi, you have to say something too. Where did Rashi get this from? So before we go further on that, the idea that there's a responsibility for us to say something can also be seen in another way that this pasuk is used, which is entirely different. And then we'll come back to all of these points. The next source over here is from the Gemara in Yuma Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph. And if you remember, in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohen Gadol would say the name of Hashem, what did everybody else do? What was the response? They bowed down and they said, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Voed. So we mimic that on Yom Kippur, right? Where does that come from? Why do you have to do that? So we're all familiar with the pasuk that says, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elokeinu. Pasuk in Chumash, that when the name of Hashem is called out, when I call out the name of Hashem, Havu Godel Elokeinu, you should magnify it, you should do something in response. So that indicates that whenever Hashem's name is said, so there should be some kind of response. Maybe that's the source what we say, you know, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Gotta be careful, right? Because you hear people in Shul just making fun of Hashem. They say Hashem's name and they say, Shemo. And that's not really, he's not a shmo. Anyway, so, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shmo is actually a few different words. Yeah. Shmo! I never appreciate that one. Anyway, so, in the Beis HaMikdash, that's what they used to do. So this Gemara quotes that, and it says, Mehena Oinen Acharav, they answer after him, Baruch Shem, Kvod Mechus, Kvod Mechus, Kvod Tani, Mechus, Kvod Rabbi Oimer, Rebbe says, Kishem Hashem Ekra, V'God Lele Kenu. When I call out the name of Hashem, you should magnify our Lord. Meaning respond. When I say the name of Hashem, so you should make his name great. But Chananya ben Achai, Rabbi Yeshua. I mean, Achi Rabbi Yeshua. Chananya, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua. Oimer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Ready for this? Pasuk says in Mishlei, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The memory of a Tzadik will be blessed. Amalehem Navi Li Yisrael. The Navi was saying to Klal Yisrael, B'shoa Shani Mazkir Tzadik Oyulamim. When I mention the Tzadik of the worlds, who do you think that refers to? Hashem. Atem Tenu Bracha. You give Bracha. So this Gemara is saying that Zecher Tzadik Livracha, I don't know if it means it doesn't just mean a physical tzaddik, but at least kal v'chomer, if it refers to a regular tzaddik, for sure refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, whenever the name of Hashem is mentioned, tenu bracha. You have to give a bracha. So by the way, so what do we say whenever Hashem's name is mentioned? Either in the Beis HaMikdash, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Yelam Boed, or what do we say when we hear Hashem's name? Not Shmo, but Baruch Hu, or Baruch Shema, do we give it bracha? Tenu bracha. But what I want to zero in on is, so wait a minute. So Zecher Tzadik Livracha is a description of reality, or it involves a command? Involves a response. So this Gemara is saying clearly, Tenu bracha. Zecher Tzadik Livracha doesn't just describe the way it is. It's actually telling us to do something. You with me? Proof from the Gemara, right? The Gemara is saying, Tenu bracha. So it's not just descriptive, it's instructive. So that's one thing. Now, so what do we have left? We want to understand, I mean, first of all, what's the Gemara talking about? Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and that Hashem knew that Shlomo HaMelech is going to come along and say this, and so Hashem has to give Bracha. It sounds like Shlomo HaMelech must have known it from Chumash. And number two, well, how does Shem Rishoyim Yerkov result in us having to do something about it? I thought it was the opposite. They just let their name rot. So take a look at the next source. The Gemara a little bit later in Yuma, the Lamed Chesem it beis. Amar Lei Rabbi Ravina, Lahumi Rabbanon. Ravina said to a certain member of Rabbanon, to have a Mesader Agadato Kameh, that was organizing Agadato, right? Like the legend parts of Torah, of Torah Baal Peh. In front of him. What does this mean? So just FYI, a little piece of information just to file away. In those times when Torah was still Baal Peh, nowadays, you know, the oral law is kind of written down, you know? It's not so oral anymore. There's a great little video that I forgot if someone produced it of this, you know, Hamish from-looking guy that's in the bookstore, in this farm store. And in walks this guy with like long hair and one of these like silk yarmulkes perched on the top of his head, you know? And he's looking around. And the fellow that's from notices him and gets nervous. Because, you know, this guy, he doesn't know how to do kiruv, he doesn't know how to speak to non-religious people, and he's getting nervous. I hope he doesn't ask me any questions. So sure enough, the guy says, excuse me? Yes, yeah, he doesn't know what to do because he doesn't know how to speak to somebody not religious. And he says, can I ask you a question? He's like, yes. He looks at, you know, the art scroll, all the lining the shelves. He opens it up and he says, you know, it says here, you know, this is the oral law. He says, yes, yes, yes. Yes, it is. That's the oral law. He says, I'm just confused with oral law, but, you know, it's a book, you know, it's written. You know? So then the guy, like, freaks out, doesn't know what to say, you know. And the moral of the story is we should all calm ourselves down and just figure out ways to speak to people. In any case, so what does it mean? It's the oral law. So it used to be a time when it really was oral. It really was oral. Not everybody was capable of memorizing the corpus of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So they used to have people that were expert memorizers. Sometimes they're called a Tana. So sometimes you'll find Tani Tana Kame to someone. A certain Tana taught in front of someone's house. Because with certain people, we know there's a period of time called the Tanoim. But there were also individuals called Tanoim, because there were people that were expert memorizers, and they memorized all of these things. And they would say, oh, shoot, what does it say in Yuma? And the guy would rattle it off. So this fellow, Ravina, had one of these guys over there that was his physical sefer. And so he was reciting Agadatos for Ravina. So he said, okay, you know, he was listening to him say over an Agadata or whatever, or he was asking him questions. And his Minohanim Ilsa Dam Rabbanan, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. What is a source for this vort that the Rabbanan say, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that we say that a Tzadik should be remembered for good? Amar Lei, the Haksiv. Well, because that's what it says in the Pasuk, Zeir Tzadik Livracha. Shlomo HaMelech said exactly those words. What do you mean? How do you know you're supposed to give a bracha to a tzaddik? Like, what do you mean? That's what it says in the Pasuk. No. Midereisa min Allah. How do you know that from the Torah? Okay, so this is a fascinating question. So we know that Shlomo HaMelech said something. Apparently, the Gemara assumes that Shlomo HaMelech is not simply being descriptive of reality. He's telling us to do something. And if he's telling us to do something, so then it has to have a source where? Torah, in one way or another. So where do you see such a sivui, such a concept, such a requirement from the Torah? Dichsiv, for Hashem amar, mechaseh ani me Avraham asher ani yoseh. How can I conceal from Avram what I'm doing? Uksiv, and then it says right afterwards, Avram, how yoyiyeh l'goy gadol ve'atzum. Avraham, oh wow, he's a great guy. He should have lots of bracha. So that's how the Gemara understood it. It's a parenthetical statement of Torah. Exactly, that's what Rashi is saying. It's a good tzitzit Gemara. So that's how Shlomo HaMelech knew it, is because he saw that. That's what the Kaddish Baruch Hu says as soon as he mentions Avraham Avinu's name. So how do you know this thing that the Rabbanan say, the name of the evil should rot? So again, assumingly, the Gemara means the same exact thing. How do you know that there's a responsibility that we have to cause rot to the names of the evil? How do you cause rot? I mean, you have to make a comment. You have to say something. That was terrible what they did. He was a terrible person. What do you mean? That's what it says in the Pasuk, Shem Yisham Yerkov. And again, he says the same thing. But how do you know there's a value like that from the Torah? So you'll guess what the answer is. What did Rashi tell us? That Avram, you know, like, look, decided he was going to go to Stoim. They were terrible, terrible people. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu say that? There it is, Shem Yisham Yerkov. We have a responsibility to say something. The most dramatic expression of this is not in a Gemara, it's in a Medrash. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah says, Vashem Omar HaMachasa Anime Avraham. Rabbi Yitzchak Pasach. Rabbi Yitzchak began with the following statement. Maybe he began his shir this way. Whatever he began exactly. He began something. Maybe when he taught this parashah, he began this way. I don't know. But he began with the following introduction. Zecher Tzadik Livracha V'Shem Yishoyim Yerkov. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Maybe it means whenever he discussed this pasuk. Maybe that's a pasuk chat. Whenever Rabbi Yitzchak discussed this pasuk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, see, he said the following. Kol mi shehu mazkir es tzadik ve'eino mevarchoi. Whoever mentions a tzadik and does not bless him, Oiver ba'asei, violates a mitzvah's asei. Whoa. Motame, what's the reason? Zeicher tzadik livracha. Because we're instructed that when you remember, when you mention a tzadik, you have to give him bracha. Whoever mentions a rasha and doesn't curse him, oiver ba'asei, violates an asei. Matame, what's the reason? V'shem l'shoim yirkov. Rabbi Yitzchak, this is the Bereishis Rabbah, the Medrash Rabbah. You see it, it says Bereishis Rabbah Vilna, Parshas Vayera, Parshas Memtes. Wow. So that really spells it out. That's the strongest expression that I found of this idea, is that there's some kind of asay to bless a tzaddik, and some kind of asay to curse a rasha. And of course, the sources go back to everything that we've seen. Even though it's a pasuk in Mishlei, it's rooted in the Torah itself, in the places that we saw. So a somewhat parenthetical remark. When you look at a quote-unquote mitzvah in this way, so it comes out that even though we find mitzvahs, not exactly in Sefer Bereishis, right? Mitzvahs are basically after Moshe Rabbeinu came along and told us what Hashem said. That's what we call mitzvahs. How could you have a mitzvah in Sefer Bereishis? So the answer is that in Sefer Bereishis, mitzvahs are couched in descriptive or narrative presentations or terms. But sof, those things are being told to us for a reason, because they are the revelation of a certain Ratzon Hashem. So let me try to explain what I'm trying to say. You have certain things that a Kaddish Baruch Hu tells us about Avram Avinu. By the way, he speaks about Avram Avinu. And when you pay attention to those things, you see what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants from us. Is that a mitzvah in 613? Okay, it's not exactly a mitzvah in 613. But it's the Ratzon Hashem. It's Hashem telling us, this is what I want from you. This is what I expect of you.
So yes, there's a degree, it's a mitzvah. How much of an obligation it is versus how much it's getting in touch with what it means to follow the Ratzon Hashem, that's probably the difference between 613 and everything that's expressed over here. So this isn't what we would call a chiyuv, a mitzvah, you gotta do this or else, but this is what Hashem wants from us, this is the Ratzon Hashem. So it's considered to be an oivar ba'aseh. If a person fails to do it, he's violating an aseh. Not one of the 613, you won't find it. But it is the Ratzon Hashem. Is it ever brought lahalacha? Here we get down to the nitty gritty. Is it ever brought down lahalacha anywhere that is some sort of halacha like this? So I have some sources for you. Sefer Charedim. What was the Sefer Charedim? So, Rabbi Lazar ben Moshe Azkari. He was born in 1533, and he was born in Tzvas to a family of that left Spain due to the Spanish, the Inquisition, I don't know, the expulsion from Spain, 1492. His family left over there and ended up in Tzvas, and he was born to that family in 1533. Tzvas in those times where it was a halig, a very holy time. Why? Who was alive at that time, you know? Yeah, Rizal, Chaim Vital, yeah, Resiv Karo, that was all part of that Chevra, like, the, you know, I mean, wow, you know, the holy people of our history. So, he was there at that time, and he also was a very gifted poet, and if you've heard of it, something called Yadid Nefesh, say he wrote it. So, okay, in any case, he wrote a Sefer called Sefer Charedim. And in Sefer Charedim, he has mitzvahs aseh medivrei kabbalah u'medivrei seifrim perik dalet. Mitzvahs aseh that are what's called medivrei kabbalah. Kabbalah here, don't misunderstand, doesn't mean kabbalah like we use the word kabbalah. It means divrei kabbalah means from Nevi'im, from Nach. It doesn't appear in Chumash. It's a medivrei kabbalah. And medivrei seifrim means medirabbanan. So there's certain mitzvahs aseh that appear in Nach and in Chazal that are mitzvahs for us to do. So he lists them. And he says, mitzvahs asay atuli bepeh uvekaneh. Mitzvahs asay that depend on the mouth and the windpipe. Medivrei kabbalah, medivrei sefer, me'efshe lekaimah mechal yom. Things that you can accomplish and fulfill every day. Aleph and Beis, the first two on the list. You ready? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. That's the Medrash. Kolam azkir tzadik v'inam avarchoy. Whoever mentions the name of a tzadik doesn't bless him. Over ba'asay. Violates an asi shnemar zeicha tzadik livracha v'chlamazki rasham rakaloi. This is the second one. Whoever mentions a rasham doesn't curse him over ba'asei shem shemish hamirkov. So the Sefer Charedim quotes this as a halacha. Okay, it's not a daraisa. It's midivrei kabbalah, midivrei seifrim. That's how he looks at it. And I didn't quote it for you on the sheet because he just quotes the Sefer Charedim. But you've probably heard of the Shalah Hakadosh, the Shalah, who was also, you know, part of that general stream of thought. He quotes Sefer Charedim in Shar HaOisiyos Oiskuf when he has things alphabetized and he talks about Kedusha, Oiskuf, the letter Kuf. He talks about Kedusha, and this is one of the things that he lists over there. Is this mitzvah asay? He simply quotes the Charedim as this is, you know, this is a straightforward, simple thing that there is to some degree midivri, it's midirabana, midivri kabbalah, but there is such a mitzvah of blessing a tzaddik and cursing a rasha. So that is where you will find it brought down. Interestingly enough, there is a sefer called Alei Tamar. Alei Tamar is a relatively recent sefer. The author's name was Rabbi Yisachar ben Tzvi Tamar, was his last name. He was born in Poland in 1896, and when the First World War broke out, he learned in Germany and England, and he got smicha, I guess, from and was a rabbi in several different communities. And in 1933, he moved to Eretz Yisrael and was a Rav in Tel Aviv. So he wrote a collection of comments, basically. Not a total perush, but comments on the Yerushalmi. He really loved learning Yerushalmi. Anyway, so he has a sefer called Alei Tamar. It's Maseches Megillah in Yerushalmi, Perek Gimel. And over there, one of the things that he mentions is that, you know, what we do after we read Megillah Esther, at the end we have it called Shoshanas Yaakov. And Shoshana Yaakov, we say, Arur Ha'aman, Baruch Mordechai, Begam Charvoina, Zachor Latov. We don't just mention Mordechai, we say Baruch Mordechai. We don't just mention Haman, we say Arur Haman. We don't just mention Charvoina, we say Charvoina, Zachor Latov. Why? See, he says that's part of this whole cheshbon. So you could argue, I know, no, come on. It's because on Purim, there is an agenda to what? Ad layada bein baruch umaruch arhaman. Okay, you're not supposed to drink when you listen to the Megillah, right? You're not supposed to be drunk listening to the Megillah. So this is not applicable at that particular time. So why are we saying in Shoy Shana Siago, you're supposed to get drunk right after you hear the Megillah. Why in Shoy Shana Siago are we so focused on saying Baruch Mordechai and Ar Haman Harvayna Zarchel Adayv? He says, it's based on this. Because it says, Eichar Tzadok Divrach, Hashem Yisham Yerkov. So since you're mentioning their name, gotta give him a bracha. So he says, V'nir Yeshuhu Adin Shedai Shemazkir Pamachas Arur V'tchilas HaKriya. Maybe if you have something similar in the beginning of the Kriya, so it's good to say it in the beginning. And then that, you know, the whole, in other words, let's say that you're going to give a shir about the Chazon Ish. Zeichar Tzadik Livracha. So do you have to, every single time you mention his name, you have to again say a bracha every single time? So okay, you know, it's enough in the context that you're speaking. So it's enough to mention it once in the context.
Are the Megillahs considered Ketuvah?
Yeah, Megillahs, yeah, specifically, right? So, so some say that's what's going on with Harvoina as well, is Zachor Latoiv. Same reason, because we want to mention that he should be mentioned for good, because he's also, at least in this context, considered to be a tzaddik. Was he Eliyahu HaNavi, not Eliyahu HaNavi? Okay. The big question that everybody wants to know on a practical level, and even in Pshat and Rashi, by the way, is, wait a minute. So every time you mention a tzaddik's name, you have to give him a bracha? Well, Noach's name was actually mentioned at the end of Parshas Bereishis, and didn't say anything nice about him over there. And Avram Avinu, pretty sure his name has been mentioned a few times before this. How come all of a sudden, by Stoim, that's when we say Zeichar Tzadik Livracha, Hashem finally decided to give him a bracha at that point? Strange, right? Something's not working here. There's something wrong. So how does Zeichar Tzadik Livracha, how does that fit? So the Gur Aryeh, who's the Maral, right? He wrote a sefer called Gur Aryeh on Rashi. So the Maral in Gur Aryeh, which is his parish on Rashi, so he asks this question in both of those places. He asks it on Noach, and he asks it on Avraham. On Noach, he says like this. Rashi writes that since he mentioned his name, it praises him. It doesn't make any sense because it starts talking about his generations, and then it just says a praise. If you'll ask, if you'll say, in general, it mentions Avram Yaakov's name a lot. Doesn't praise them every single time it mentions their name. What's going on? It could give the following answer. The only time this is applicable, Zeichar Tzadik Livracha, we mention his shevach, is only when you're going to, in his context, mention Rishoyim. In other words, when both Tzadikim and Rishayim are mentioned together, that's when this comes into play. Ki ha-Rishayim garmim, because Rishayim cause, she-Hashem Yisparach mastir panav min olam, that Hashem hides his face from the world. Ve-lefichach tzarech lahazkir as a tzadik levracha. That's why you have to mention the tzadik for bracha, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face back into the world. Ve-chein le-kaman, it's of Avram, you see the same pattern over there. Lefisha mazkir sham Rishayim, because it's about to mention Stoim. Uksiv, and that's what the pasuk is saying, Zeichar Tzadik Livracha. It's a loymar kasher ba lizkor oisay. When you want to mention his name, zechira means to remember. You don't remember something that you're not forgetting. So the idea of a zecher means there's some reason why the name is going out of fashion. So you have to remember it so you don't forget. Vein lashon zechira rak akar shitcha vehester. It only makes sense to speak about a zecher when there's some sort of forgetting or something being hidden. Ozi levracha, then the name itself can be for a bracha. Which means when the Rishoyim are Rachmana Litzlan, removing the Shechina, umastir panav min ha'olam, and are hiding Hashem's face from the world, v'az kasher medaber min ha'tzadik, and when you speak of the tzadik in that context, nikras a zechira. That's called a zechira. Umaskir esal livracha, and you mention his name for bracha. V'al kshayim medaber min ha'rishoyim. But if you're not speaking about Rishayim at all, Hinein Hashem El Yireyav. So Hashem's eyes, so to speak, are on those who fear Him. Tamid La Yisrael Meim. So Hashem's Shechin is always resting on the Tzadikim. So there's no Zechira Shayach Meim Zechira. There's no Zechira there. Umehai Taima in Sarach Leimar Al Tzadik Zecher Tzadik Livracha. There's no necessity to say any time you mention the name of a Tzadik Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rakesh Umazkir Zachar Achar Moso, except after he dies. Once the Tzadik is dead, So you want to say Zecher Tzadik Livracha because there's a Zechira. You don't want to forget him. Because people forget about people that die. So when you mention the name of a dead tzaddik, you say Zecher Tzadik Livracha because you know because it's applicable because he's being forgotten because he's dead. But when he's alive, you don't have to. Unless it's a situation where there's a contrast between him and Rishoyim, and at the time of Rishus, so you mention the name of the tzaddik because what it means to mention the name of the tzaddik is really mentioning Hashem. And you're bringing Hashem's bracha to the world through mentioning the tzaddik. That's his answer in Parshas Noach. He says something a little bit differently in Vayera. He says, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Afal Gav Lecham Boimim, okay, I'll just skip to the answer. Aval Kanshehu Zoichre Shaloi Befanav, since in this case, Hashem is mentioning Avram Avinu's name when Avram Avinu is not there, because he's not standing in front of him, even though the Pesukim seem to indicate maybe he was, a little strange. Yeah, so it says, whenever a person, Hashem, is in the immediate presence of him or something like that, and he's speaking with him. So in other words, you see that Hashem said to Avram, Hashem said to Yaakov, Hashem said to someone. So in that case, you don't find that ever Chumash blessing the tzaddik, because Hashem is speaking to him. But here, since it's a narrative, and it says, Hashem says, Hamachasing me Avram, can I hide anything? How can I hide it from Avram what I'm going to do? So it wasn't like Hashem was speaking to Avram. That's what it means. It wasn't in front of him. It wasn't speaking to him yet. So then, Zoicher Livracha. That's what it means. Zeicher Tzadik Livracha. So there's a memory of the Tzadik because Hashem is not speaking directly to him. So that's a little confusing, because if you want to take this maral and make it something that's lemaisa for us, which is not exactly what he's saying. He's saying, why does the pasuk do it like that? But if we're going to try to utilize this to understand when we should say it, as you see from the Medrash, as you see from the Sefer Haredim, you see from the Shalah, as you see from the Alei Tamar, if we're going to behave based on this, so then when do we need to do it? So according to the Maral, it's only when there's some element of forgetting or hiddenness happening. So then you need to mention the bracha to balance it out. So does that mean you never have to do it when the tzaddik is alive? But what if the tzaddik's not in front of you? So then maybe you should. If you're not speaking to the tzaddik, if you're speaking to the tzaddik, okay, so you know, obviously you don't have to. But if we're going to mention the name of a tzaddik, so then maybe we should say it whenever we're not in the presence of the tzaddik or we're not speaking to the tzaddik. So there's a little bit of, I don't want to call it a discrepancy, but seemingly two different approaches based on these two comments of the Maral. Neither one of them, of course, is being brought lahalacha. He's just explaining Rashi and Chumash. So, the place, Aaron, where someone actually does say this, what you thought of on your own, is the Torah Tumima. This is the last source on the source sheet. Torah Tumima says, Meharaya shemevi me'Avraham, from the proof that you have to give bracha to a tzaddik, is from Avraham, that Hashem says, and it's from Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So you see something, he says, that De'ena Perush, the Zecher Tzadik Livracha does not mean Shitzarech Loimar Haloshan Zecher Tzadik Livracha. You need to specifically say the words Zecher Tzadik Livracha whenever you say the name of a tzaddik. That it can't mean, because that's not what Hashem did. So it doesn't mean you have to actually say those words Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It just means there should be some kind of bracha. El Tzarech Livracha Beza Bracha. You have to say some sort of bracha.
Whether or not they're alive or dead.
Right. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a bracha to Avraham, namely, that he'll be a goy gadol. But he doesn't say Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Okay. V'yesh Leimar. And you could suggest, Del Smach Zeh, based on this, you know, it's not like this is a chiyuv, but based on this, Nahagu, the minig is, Lichtoiv Achar, he writes a Lichtoiv, to write. Achar Shem Adam Nechbad, after the name of an honorable person, Inyan Eze Bracha, some kind of bracha. Kamoi, so for example, Sheyichya. A lot of times people write, someone says, Sheyichya, you should live. Shlita, Neira Yoyir, and all kinds of other acronyms. Lichadoyme. I don't remember all of what they mean. And there are other ones also that you find in Chazal Sosa, like Neiro. Nun Reish Vav, Natrech Manu Parke, Hashem should protect him and you know, redeem him or give him all kinds of, you know, nachas. But in any case, you find these all the time, these types of things. But he includes Shlita, like you suggested originally. He includes Shlita on the list. That's why you find when people write the name of an Adam Nechbad, they add one of these brachas. That's the minhag, he says, is based on this. Elikafida mashma mikan. But the truth of the matter is, what's mashma from the source, tzarech lahazkir kazeh gam kishamazkirim Hashem bal peh. That it's not just when you write it, but it's when you say his name too, orally. B'gemara matzino, shezach Rav Chista, es Rav, amar mokum yeh be'ezroi, that when Rav Chista mentioned Rav's name, he says that Hashem should help him. Seems to be based on this idea. Of course, it's not all the time in the Gemara, but he says you do find that at least one time in the Gemara. Ubal Evan Sapir, the one who wrote, the author of the Sefer, Evan Sapir, Meij Oid Hayoim Anogar Tzus Teman, that in his time, in the land of Teman, right, we call them Temanim, right? So people that came from Teman, even in his time, Kishemazkirim Ishchai Lishvach, when they mention a living person and they want to praise him, Oimrim Allah Vashalom. They say the guy's name that's alive, and they say Allah Vashalom. Not because they want him to die, they want him to have bracha. Which is, of course, what we say after a person died. So he's pointing out that that's all rooted in the same idea. He writes in this language, also the so-and-so, the Rimar Golias, so he places al on a certain other personality, Latusa Derabanan, a certain rabbinic curse. Why? In other words, he got all upset at him. Why did he get upset at him? Because when he mentioned his name, he didn't add Shayichya or any of the Shlita, nothing. He didn't say anything. Kaminig, which is the minig arkan l'shaynoi. So it's really an important thing he's trying to point out over here, to actually, at least when you write the person's name, to add some sort of bracha. Ulafisha bi arnu, and according to what we've explained, loyrak minig, it's really not just a minig, eladina de Gemara. It's really a din of the Gemara. And he sends you to some other Mari Komos also. Wow. So the Torah Tumimah took this pretty seriously. I don't know. You know, I never went to a shir from the Torah Tumimah. You know, did every time that he mentioned a certain tzaddik or a certain member of Chazal or anything, did he always give a bracha? Was he makbid always to give a bracha because he felt it was a dina de Gemara? I don't know. So I didn't put this on the sheet, but there's one other place I saw this brought up in a tshuva, in the Maram Padua in Simon Pei Zion in the Shailos Vetshuvos. So there was a really interesting case that came up. There's something called the Sefer Chassidim. And Sefer Chassidim, which is really the what do you call it? The will, but it's not a will of stuff. What do they call it? When a person wants the children to follow after him. What do they call it? Whatever. Okay, in any case, so he wrote a sefer of all kinds of things that he thought were good customs for his family to follow after he was no longer alive. And one of the things he mentions over there is that if a person's father was a mumar, like rejected Yiddishkeit, went totally off the derech, so then the sons should not be called up to the Torah by his name. They should be called up by the grandfather's name. Whoa. So the Shaila came to the Maram Padua, where this really happened, and there was a father that like rejected Yiddishkeit, Rachmana Litzlan, and his children didn't know what to do, because it was embarrassing for them. Everybody knew who their father was when they knew his name. And if they would get called up to the Torah by the grandfather, then everyone would start saying, oh yeah, right, right. And like, it would cause a stir. And they would be humiliated. It would like cause all the pain to start all over again. It would be easier if they could just be called up by the name that everybody knows them by and just, you know, go on our merry way. So in it, he mentions this idea of Shem Yishraim Yirkov, that we have an agenda to destroy the names of the evil. Yeah, so that's where this is rooted in. He says, but at the end of the day, it's a Sefer Chassidim, and it's a nice idea, but it's certainly not a din, and it has no real source, and therefore, because there's a tremendous embarrassment in this case, so of course they should be called up by the father's name, and it's not something that we should be makbid on. Yeah? But he does bring that up. And then there's another place in the Gemara in Kiddushin that talks about also when a person's father is no longer alive, so a person should say, Harini Kaparas Mishkavo. And when the person is dead, so afterwards, subsequent to, after he's been dead for some time, so then a person refers to his father, Zecher Tzadik, you know, Zecher Zichron Livracha Lachaya Olam Habo. His memory should be remembered for eternal life in Olam Habo. So the Marsha comments over there that after he's dead, you add La'olam Abba. But when he's alive, you can say Zecher Tzadik Livracha.
Even though we decided that Zecher is more of a remembrance.
Yeah. So the question is, well, what does that mean? Meaning, not we talked to him, obviously. What if you're just not in his presence? You know, do we really say only if you're going to speak about something about Rishoyim in the same time as him? So the Marsha is not learning that way. I don't think. No source to say such a thing. But apparently, if you're mentioning a tzaddik that's not present, that's not there, so there is perhaps an important value to then give him some sort of praise, even when he's still alive. So those are the Marim Makomos. Let's just summarize what we spoke about. It all starts with Parshas Vayera and this parenthetical statement of the Torah that Avram was a really great guy. He'll have lots of bracha. Why do you need to say that for? And Rashi is the one that started us off by saying this is all rooted in Zecher Tzadik Livracha. That's a pasuk in Mishlei. When you first see the pasuk in Mishlei, it sounds like it's just descriptive. But you see from all the chazals that we went through that it's not merely descriptive, it's instructive. It's telling us that it's not like this is just the way it is, that we're supposed to make it like that. And it's really a reflection of the Ratzon Hashem, as the Gemara itself says, that this concept of Shlomo Melech Zecher Tzadik Livracha and Shem Rosham Yerkov is really rooted in Psukim and Sefer Bereishis, in the way that a Kaddish Baruch Hu speaks about the Tzadik, and the way that a Kaddish Baruch Hu refers to the Rasha. He feels that there should be a bracha given to the Tzadik when a Kaddish Baruch Hu mentions Stoim, or when a Avram mentions Stoim, so it's really the narrative, it's really Hashem mentioning it in the Torah. So then Hashem comes in with a parenthetical statement that Ayveh, Stoim. So that teaches us that this is a way that we're supposed to speak. So that's brought down in a couple of sources, La'alach on the Sefer Charedim and the Shalah, and then in some later Sfarim, just in reference to perhaps explanations of Shoshanas Yaakov and whatnot. And then we saw the Maharal, who tries to figure out, well, where exactly does it apply? Because it's not like Hashem says it every single time a Tzaddik is mentioned. So Maharal says, well, definitely it doesn't apply when a Kaddish Baruch is speaking to the Tzaddik, because it does say Zecher. So there has to be some kind of Zecher. So if he's not being forgotten, he's being spoken to, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But if he's not in the person's immediate presence, if he's not being spoken to, so maybe there it should be said. The other idea of the Maharal is that it's only used when there's a contrast between the Tzaddik and the Rasha, because it's also a context of Zecher, because it's as if Hashem's name is being forgotten. So it needs to be the Zecher of the Tzaddik to bring Hashem back into play. And then we saw the Torah Tamimo thinks that that's where the minute comes from, to at least when we write about Tzaddikim, even when they're alive, that we make a statement that they should have bracha. He says, but the truth of the matter is that the sources have nothing to do with writing it. The sources have to do with mentioning their name. So he thinks that even when they're alive, and even when you're just saying it bal peh, he thinks that's a din of the Gemara, to go ahead and make a positive comment, some sort of bracha, whenever you mention the tzaddik. So you should koyach to Aaron for bringing up the topic. It's a fascinating topic. And I'm sure there's much more to be said. And there are, by the way, there are some articles that have been written about saying Zecher Tzadik Livracha in a person's lifetime. There are a couple articles that people have written about that in periodicals and whatnot. But this is, you know, the core of the issue of Zecher Tzadik Livracha and Shem Rosham Yerkov, and how, you know, at least a little bit of a stream of that flows through time of Torah.